What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. It's time for the Fightful Select Q&A show. Let's go ahead and get into it. No wasted time. Cyclops says, do you think Bianca is a good fit for the Hurt Business stable? I do. I think she'd be a good fit for almost anything, but quite frankly, I think she can stand out on her own and be a significant star. I mean, she could fit in well with them. I think she'd fit in well with the Street Profits for obvious reasons. Her husband's in there. She's fit well with him before, but I don't think that she needs anything to be a star. But her playing off of other people works really, really well, so maybe so. I just feel like they'd have her fade into the background and not talk much if MVP was the mouthpiece there. So I don't know if I want to see that. James asks, what's Lars Sullivan's status with WWE, or is his career with WWE essentially over? It's been 13, 14 months since his injury. The original injury report last year from the time that he was out said late June 2020. I know that he didn't think that he was going to be out nearly that long because he had battled knee injuries before, but I've not heard of him getting fired. I've not heard of him getting released. I don't know that he was a part of any of that. He is still with the company as far as I know, and a lot of the controversies that came up earlier this year are kind of in the rear view, but yeah, he's still with WWE. I think he'll be back. James says, just watch the Pat McAfee, Adam Cole confrontation. I'm on the fence about the work shoot aspect. Was this a work or a shoot? Would you be okay with it leading to a match? I'd be fine with it leading to a match. I'm okay with that. It was a work. It was a complete work. Complete work. And there's nothing wrong with that. Young Bibby says, do you think Jake Hager is one of those AEW talents that was actually pushed more in WWE? At times, ECW title, world title, We the People, for sure. But maybe that wasn't his role. Maybe his time will emerge, but he definitely wasn't towards the end. Where does Mickie James rank for you among women wrestlers? That's a really broad, vague question. I'm not sure what you mean by that. All time? I don't know. I'd probably put her in my top 20, top 25. Right now, probably top 10. If I were fantasy booking SmackDown, this would be my list of champions. Tell me what you think and if you like it or not. Sheamus is Universal Champion. No, I don't like that at all. I see AJ Styles. Yeah, fine. SmackDown Women, Alexa Bliss. Yeah, I'd be okay with that if she was feuding with Nikki Cross. Men's Tag, Miz and Morrison. Yeah, sure. Women's Tag, Sasha and Bayley. Yeah, I like that. Kay says, what's the latest on Velveteen Dream? Do you have a good idea why he's off TV but can't report it? Because the sources aren't concrete, how does a journalist handle such a thing? I could say that I do, but I mean, I could say that I have a pretty good idea, but I'm not sure if that's the actual reason, if that makes any sense to you. I was actually having this conversation with another media member yesterday. When people say, what's the latest on the Velveteen Dream story, I have to say, which one? There's a new one every single month. And there's so much that I can't even, like, I wouldn't even be able to report unless he came out and talked about it. Just like, one, the allegations are the allegations, but the car wreck and issues with other wrestlers from the past, and then the car thing, the window bashing thing that is getting weirder. There's no body cam footage anymore. It's been purged. Like, there are a lot of different things that have went on with him, plus other things that have happened with him that we can't write about unless he comments on it or WWE comments on it, because there's a certain level of information from NXT wrestlers that WWE doesn't put out there. And the thing is, WWE knows that I know about some of this stuff because I've asked them about countless things, but there were people in the company, wrestlers on NXT, that thought he was getting fired. They thought it was a done deal. And it was not a done deal. He got in that car accident, and there's been no response or no follow-up since then. Out of curiosity, how would you run NXT Japan if it becomes a thing? Also, keep up the great work. Loving Fightful Select. Well, first off, I wouldn't, because I think that New Japan has a stranglehold there, and I don't think WWE has probably a great plan going in there. I mean, there was just a merger with DDT. connecting with Noah. So they merge into Cyber Fight, and they want to compete with New Japan. If you could find a way to get that, maybe. And you got Tokyo Joshi Pro as well. But I don't know, man. I don't have any idea how I would run that. I would obviously have Kairi Sane as a part of it if she's going to be back in Japan. I would try to get someone like Taka, who WWE is familiar with and has an established relationship with. Not Funaki. He's living in Texas and really enjoying it right now. But I would get some people that they are familiar with that know their style of wrestling and see if it connects over there. James says, how do you think WWE could reintroduce a light heavyweight championship alongside the cruiserweight championship? Would they have to revamp the weight classes, maybe as a second championship on 205 Live under NXT? Well, I think that's not a good idea whatsoever with the way that they booked the cruiserweight championship in recent years. They've got a lot of cruiserweights. They've got a ton of them. Like, a lot of these people are under 205 pounds. EC3 was 210 pounds, for the love of God. So you mean to tell me that a bunch of these other guys aren't under 205 pounds? Being a lighter weight is not a bad thing. More people tune in to watch Jon Jones than Stipe Miocic. More people tune in to watch Conor McGregor than Daniel Cormier. That's not shitting on Cormier or Stipe. I'm just saying, being a lighter weight isn't a bad thing, but WWE seems to think it is. I don't have an answer for that, because I think that doing that is not a good idea. What's the current status of Chelsea Green? Haven't seen her since her last NXT run. They called her up, and they didn't have any plans for her. She was the victim of Paul Heyman falling out of power. Do you see MVP eventually becoming an executive producer for programming in the future? I don't know what you mean by executive producer. No, not there. He was doing some agenting, if that's what you mean, but not now. Are the Tessa WWE rumors legit? I don't know. I'm supposed to find out more on her at the end of this week. Mick or Astro Mick says, are we going to see a new weekly MMA podcast once the relaunch happens? Will Showdown Joe be involved? Well, I can tell you, Showdown Joe will not be involved. I love Showdown Joe. I think he is great. He's awesome. I think the world of Showdown Joe. But he has moved on from MMA, and quite frankly, I think he had moved on from MMA before we ever brought him on to Fightful. And there's nothing wrong with that, but I felt like his heart was never fully in MMA. I think maybe briefly for a while when we were doing the shows every day it was, but it didn't work out the way that we had hoped and wanted, and I became familiar with Showdown Joe via Fightful. But I will always have a lot of love for Joe. I would love to have him on a show this year. I'd love to do like a retro show, so to speak, in the MMA world. I think that would be a good idea, but for what we weren't getting our return, so to speak, on that, and he was completely understanding of that. He said, if you don't get a return on the investment, the business doesn't exist. So he understood why we all parted ways last year. And it honestly, like, my heart sinks a little bit even talking about this, because I love doing those shows with Joe. I loved hanging out with Joe. I loved doing all that. We did hundreds of shows together. And I spent hours and hours and hours with him that first week of Fightful. And the buzz dissipated. It didn't increase. It dissipated. And Fightful was faced with the decision, do we continue this MMA side, maybe as a money loser, but reinvest? Or do we cut the MMA side and, quite frankly, we'd be making more money? Jimmy wants to show that he has a dedication to the MMA side. So that's why we hired Shaquille Majuri. And that is a long way to get to your question. Will there be a weekly MMA podcast? Oh boy, there will be a lot more than a weekly MMA podcast. There is going to be a ton of stuff. And not to kind of put all of Shaq's stuff out there, but he's talking about doing interviews, stories, and fighters react videos, top 10 lists, Fight Night companion shows, weekly podcasts. I think there was also like a 10-minute news of the day style news of the day show, which I've actually been considering doing on the wrestling end. There's going to be a complete revamp of the FightfulMMA.com section. And you guys know how much time I put into the wrestling side. I want somebody that will do that on the MMA side, and Shaq's going to do that. And my hope is that as a result of Shaq doing that, that side will make a ton of money, and we'll be able to hire more people and give our guys raises and all that stuff. But I'm going to try to change the URL of the MMA YouTube. But for now, subscribe to youtube.com/FightfulMMAboxing. It's gone dark right now, but as of next week, it'll be back. The thing is, like, I haven't had as much time to dedicate to MMA as I'd like, but when I see Shaq doing great things, I know it's going to make me want to contribute more. But here's the thing. A lot of people complain about seven-hour WrestleManias. That is every Saturday covering a UFC card. Every Saturday is a seven-hour show. So I'm not going to miss that being off my plate, so to speak, but I am still going to contribute. Obviously, I'm very excited about this. But yeah. Jonathan says, when we see the brilliance of Taz as a manager, why does AEW feel compelled to stick with the likes of Jake the Snake, Vicky Guerrero, Arn Anderson, and Tully? Is Cody clinging too tightly to his past? Yes, I agree. I did not like Vicky, her first promo. Jake has been he's been all right. Lance Archer doesn't need him. I like Tully with Sean Spears. I like that, but I mean, it's an extra body there, effectively. Yes, I think he's clinging too much to the past. I would be bringing in different managers instead of them. Do you know if they're piping in crowd noise to help with the PC recruits? It sounded a little bit louder recently. Yes, they are. They're doing some sweetening with that audio and adding in some other audio. Why hasn't AEW signed Eddie Kingston? Everything he did on NWA Power I thought was amazing. He might have a deal. I don't know if he's got an NWA deal. I don't think so, but I don't know. It doesn't make a sense to sign a ton of people during the pandemic. All due respect to Eddie Kingston, I don't know if like they're in danger of losing him to a major company during the pandemic. He might do some appearances, but I think he'll still be there when it's over, and they're very fortunate for that, if so. Seems like Drew is just allowed to be himself ever since they started to push him to the moon. Is that why he's been so successful? Is there any truth to that? There was a talking point that Drew and a lot of other people just got to say whatever they wanted and didn't have promos written for them, and that's not true. Under Heyman, I should say. That Heyman just let them say what they wanted, and that's why they got over. That is not true. They had stuff written for them, and a lot of the writers wrote a lot of great stuff for them, but Drew has been able to show more of his personality. Yes, for sure. Follow up to the Drew question, if he's allowed to be himself, why is Roman forced to be the big dog rather than the cool people everybody sees outside the ring? That is quite literally a $1 million question, Brennan. I do not know the answer to that, and a lot of people don't know the answer to that. A lot of people wonder the answer to that within the company. They don't know why Roman Reigns has never just been allowed to be himself. He's got to go out there and say suffer and succotash and do all this goofy shit. It's not practical, but I think he'd get over massively. Have you had the chance to check out New Japan Lions Break Collision? I have not actually. I've not, but I will very soon. It's one of the only things I haven't been able to watch lately. When does Raw drop below 1 million total? I don't think it will. I think they'll stay around 1.3, 1.4, 1.5. But, I mean, we're talking about Raw being just above where AEW debuted at, which is wild. Why can't WWE get creative with concepts like AEW does, like have SummerSlam in a beach setting? They want to have SummerSlam on a beach setting, from what I understand, although they have not clued in producers on that as of yet. But WWE gets creative plenty of times. It's just it gets stifled by Vince McMahon, usually. It's very frustrating. With Bayley versus Sasha looking like it's not going to take place at SummerSlam, could this mean that Bayley might defend in a multi-woman match with Lacey, Naomi, Sonya, or Mandy? Are there different plans for Bayley? If I knew the creative plans for Bayley and Sasha and all that, I would report it on the website. Anything is possible. But if you're asking me about upcoming creative plans, we would have that out there, at least if it was firm. Lacey and Naomi, I think, will continue to feud. Sonya and Mandy, I think, will feud. I think you'll probably have somebody else emerge. But I could see a multiple-person match that helps Bayley become more overwhelmed. Do you think any part of BTE highlights will ever be integrated into Dynamite episodes? Oh, for sure. I think it'll be all over AEW programming eventually as they go back and they reference things. I think they will be and they should. Hunter says, do you think we'll see a growing number of non-Japanese wrestlers going the Young Lion route after the success of guys like Jay White and Juice? Yeah, I think a lot more people will be willing to do it. It won't be looked down upon. There are so many people who come from over here and they're like, well, I've already been here and I've already been there. Why do I need to go pay my dues over here as well? Well, just the nature of the way they do things over there for a lot of people that are starting out in the country. But I think that it's a good idea. I mean, anybody can catch fire. Anybody can do that with the right gimmick, the right personality, the right skill set, and going and learning a little bit more, I think is completely fine. And I think that it's going to be looked down upon a lot less by people that are making that transition over there or that are going to Japan. We keep hearing stories of the early PC tapings going well into the night and even into early mornings. Is this still a thing going on, or have they fixed this? No, they have not fixed this. The last Monday they taped was one of the longest tapings that they have had yet. The wrestlers I talked to were very exhausted by that. Any word on Royal Rumble? As much as it is a while to go, it is 6 months away with no end to this pandemic in sight. No, there is no word on the Royal Rumble right now. I have asked, and people in the company said that they just assume that they will have a Royal Rumble. It just will be at the Performance Center if it has to be at the Performance Center. Any updates on the plans for the women's tag titles? Do you know if they'll be defended at SummerSlam or if Bayley and Sasha will defend all the titles? Thanks, you're great. No word, but if I were them, I would do it. I have said over and over again, I think this needs to come down to Bayley becoming overwhelmed. She's got to defend her titles twice. She's got to defend it against multiple people. Like, she's just exhausted. I think they should win a tag title match. I think Sasha should win her Raw title match. And I think Bayley should defend against like five people in like a six-pack challenge and win that too, but her to barely escape all of it. And then she's like, oh my God, I can't handle this anymore. I've got to protect me. I've got to protect mine. But I'm good with them keeping this going for a long-ass time. I love this story. Dev says, just finished listening to Jim Ross's audiobook where he details treatment from Vince McMahon that was tantamount to abuse. Obviously, you don't know the details. How is it Vince has gotten away with treating his employees so terribly for so long with little mainstream repercussions? Money, power, and influence. What good is it going to do to you if you talk about how bad Vince McMahon treats you? Well, you won't be able to work for Vince McMahon again, and that's about it. Where are all the solid places to work outside of that? There's AEW, maybe Ring of Honor, maybe Impact. That's why. I think because people don't want to burn bridges. Look at Bruce Pritchard. Bruce Pritchard didn't talk that bad about Vince McMahon, even on his podcast. And he found his way back. Anybody can find their way back. Is there a specific reason WWE has leaned so heavily into double champions lately, or is it just happenstance? It's happenstance, and the Keith Lee one was to counter-program AEW. That's what it was. And that one was dumb that they were just like, oh, well, buy North American title. Have him defend it in the ladder match and just not win the ladder match. The Bayley and Sasha ones are just because they're the best thing on WWE TV right now. And the Becky thing was because she was the best thing on WWE TV, but they shouldn't have done that either. Cool visual, nice nickname. They didn't need to do that. Could have done it later or in a different way. With WWE seemingly holding off on the Sasha and Bayley feud, what happens with the SmackDown Women's Championship? Do you think Bayley should have a continuous reign, or should she lose the belt and either she and Sasha wins it down the road before they feud? I think that Bayley should be dominant as this champion. I would not be opposed to Sasha still not being able to defend this title and a story being made out of hers. But I think that Bayley should just keep holding the title. I think that that friggin' one-week reign for Charlotte was just so stupid. I look back at that at the same way I look at the primetime players winning the tag titles from New Day. If they wouldn't have done that pointless, long-overdue reign for the primetime players in 2015, New Day would have had a 600-day reign as tag team champions. 600 days. And quite frankly, they did not need to have Cesaro and Sheamus just outright beat them either. There were no plans. Here's a fun fact. Since the New Day's historic title reign ended, do you want to know how many teams held the titles for more than 99 days? None until the Street Profits right now. None until the Street Profits right now. Look over at the SmackDown Women's Championship. Bayley would already be sitting at a year-plus reign. Over 430 days. I mean, she's already, by far, the longest reigning champion in the history of SmackDown. She's doubled everybody else. But damn, man. You look at that and you're like, ah, they could have had something. They could have had some history there, even beyond this. And Becky held her title for over a year, so she's approaching that. She's the second longest reigning champion of the brand split era. But it seemed really weird to me that they did that. When does Asuka get her rematch for the title? There have not been automatic rematches for a long time. For over a year. With Sasha being Raw Women's Champion, who do you see her and Bayley facing at SummerSlam? Shayna Baszler would be nice, and for Sasha, and a six-pack challenge would be good for Becky or Bayley. I wish Becky was there. That'd be fun. Where do you think SummerSlam takes place? Some local beach. Jesus. You excited for Talkin' Shop-a-Mania? I'm ready for the glorious dumpster fire that show is going to be. Yeah, I'm very excited. Luke Gallows is a very funny guy. I think this is going to be his way of showing that he can do this entertaining stuff. I think it'll catch fire and people will really like it. There's a stigma around hiring ex-WWE guys, it seems. How do you feel is the best way to avoid negativity there? Well, I know AEW did not want to hire people that WWE just released. That's why if you look up and down their roster, it's mainly comprised of people who left WWE of their own volition. I don't think there's that much of a stigma around a lot of them, because I know a lot of the WWE releases weren't used right. So it's a little bit different. I mean, there is a little bit, but only if you're a complete dumbass do you even associate that as like, oh, it sucks. Man, people got to work. Will the short pay-per-view shows last once the crowds return? No, I don't think so. I think they'll go back to normal long-ass shows. Are there concerns of diluting the quality of cinematic matches with the more they produce? Yes, that is a constant concern with my conversations there with WWE employees. They're afraid that it's going to reduce the quality of the, and then it already has. That's the constant theme I keep hearing. I'll have more on that very, very soon. If they hold off on Bayley Sasha till Mania, how would that impact the push of the rest of the women's division? And does that change your Sonya as a champion by the end of the year prediction? My prediction was by the end of next year, she'll be a champion. Not by the end of this year. But I think she could be a champion by the end of this year and should be. No, I could see Sasha costing Bayley the belt, vice versa. And I think it should be for Bayley's title. I thought that a lot of the crux of their feud would be the fact that Sasha wanted what Bayley had. Guess not. Do you think AEW would be signing more new people if the finances were less tight? Well, I mean, yeah, that's if the finances were less tight. Yeah, of course, that opened up the budget. If you mean situations were different, yeah, I do think they would, because they would get to see a lot more people than people who were willing to drive to Florida. But yeah, definitely. If Steve Austin decided to return for one more match, who would you want it to be against? Now, a lot of people would say, oh, a young guy, somebody who can make him look good, all that stuff. Not me. To me, I would have Stone Cold Steve Austin come out and say that he's going to do one more match, and then I would hit CM Punk's music and have a heel CM Punk return. Because who's the one guy that could get a heel reaction out of CM Punk right now? Stone Cold Steve Austin. They would have to work on this match heavily. It'd be playing the hits a lot, so to speak, but the very righteous guy who left wrestling compared to the everyman superstar who was forced to leave wrestling. Jason Clay says, do you think Kairi Sane's goodbye tweets 3 minutes after the beatdown ruined the storyline with Asuka, Sasha, and Bayley? No, not at all. Kairi Sane is a character who was on a taped show. Not at all. Not one bit. What are your thoughts on this trend we've seen in recent years of promotions giving wrestlers more than one title belt? Are they looking to boost their champion stature or looking for a big moment? Both. You saw the thing, that goofy-ass shit with Austin Aries a few years ago where he had like 7 belts and none of them meant hardly anything. That was that, for sure. That was that. I wrestled these two dorks on the indies, and they had not wrestled in like 4 or 5 years. They were trying to get another little run, and they're like, oh, well, we come out with all these tag titles because our gimmick is traveling champions. I was like, what? Your gimmick is traveling champions? You don't go anywhere 30 minutes outside of a 30-minute radius. And by the way, is that a replica WCW tag title? And are those toy belts? It was the worst goddamn match I ever had in my life. I'll tell the story one day. But yeah, I've seen that and I was like, man, that's a lot of putting yourself over. Yikes. Do you think there's money in The Fiend versus Finn Balor or Demon Balor? When you say, do you think there's money, I need to know if you mean like network subscriptions, draw to the house, merch. I do. It's not a pay-per-view main event unless it's a cinematic match, though. But I think there's definitely something there that could end up working. Do you ever think about having Fightful personalities do live streams on Twitch during Impact or NXT? I don't have a real interest in Twitch. It's way too easy to get banned from Twitch. We're not monetized on that platform. Maybe we would on YouTube, but it would have to be worth it to us financially to do it. Because at this point, I don't want to do anything that will not get a return. And that's very important to me, to make sure that Fightful is solvent. If we're making even a nickel a month, Jimmy's happy. He just wants us to do good stuff. Do you know if EC3 is under contract to Impact? No, he's not. And I see where you say that he was on Busted Open and we could see him in other companies. Yes, we could see him in other companies. But yeah, he does not have a full-time contract. And that was something that was very important to him. He wanted to be able to control his own stuff in that regard. If you could ask Vince McMahon one question and he couldn't lie to you, what would it be? Why he's so hesitant to let wrestlers become bigger than the marquee. Is it effective to bring back older talent to help bring fans back? For a long period of time, I remembered I started watching wrestling again in 2017, and that's when the Hardys returned. Yeah, it is, but you can't have Goldberg beat The Fiend. You cannot do that. You cannot have Cain Velasquez as a celebrity come in and effectively be the reason that Kofi Kingston loses his championship. That can't happen. Do you think Brock and Bobby Lashley would be a good matchup for the next usage of the Fight Pit? Yes, I do, because I think that Fight Pit should be used without audiences right now, and I think that that's a good matchup that they could utilize for that, because you'd hear a lot of meat slapping right there. You need those sounds. You need that stuff to really add to the match. So I think the fight pit would be fantastic for both of them. We have some related questions. What have you heard about Miro heading back to Impact Wrestling? I don't know if he was planned for Impact. I know it was alluded to a couple times. And then somebody asked, when will he decide what company? Well, he's battling COVID. He's battling COVID. So I personally think he'll end up in New Japan. And that would be a while. As far as Daga, what I've heard from Impact is that he still wants to work there, and they don't think that the Tessa Blanchard situation should affect that. So from what I understand, the last thing I heard was that he would still be good to work there. Could WWE be thinking about turning Shayna face? They could, but I wouldn't change that much about her. Just make her kick people's asses. But they're definitely thinking about it. They're always thinking about stuff like that. Is it possible WWE will ever do an all-women's TV show? Well, that's what SmackDown was pitched as 21 years ago, but I would not expect that anytime soon, unless it's a web show. If WWE signs Tessa Blanchard, would a four-horsewoman stable of Charlotte, Tessa, Sasha, and Bayley work? You damn right it would. It sure would, and then when Becky comes back, she would have an axe to grind there and a series of people to go through. I think that would be really good. Jay Kane says, with NXT being dominated in the ratings, do you think we'll see main roster talents add more star power to the show? Yeah, they'll probably end up sending somebody there. I know that they had some sort of roster transactions that were planned for August, but that was before the regime change, so I don't know if that's still in the works. But yeah, I would expect to see some. I've been out of the loop on the Nick Aldis, Bruce Pritchard beef. How long ago did Bruce Pritchard bring up Nick Aldis? Oh, man. So I seem to remember Pritchard being outspoken about Nick Aldis in TNA. Or not Nick Aldis. Magnus in TNA, not Nick Aldis. And Aldis said that Pritchard was deliberately trying to devalue someone and their ability to make a living. I don't get it, man. He ain't going to affect your NWA status. You're very clearly the guy. And I'm sure it is Aldis holding a chip on his shoulder, but Aldis has told me that he was not ready back then. So I don't know why it's that controversial. Now, maybe there's something else that I missed out on that Bruce Pritchard said. I don't see. I mean, nobody's exempt from criticism. Since Omega is turning heel, when and where does he complete the heel turn? I don't like using heel face in terms of AEW. I don't like that. I don't know when he'd do a turn. He might turn on Hangman, but I don't think it's heel baby face type of thing. But very soon, I would expect them to wrestle it all out. I was hoping anyway. They're booking Lashley as a monster. What direction does he go in? Hopefully he just keeps winning and then he faces Brock Lesnar. That's what I'm hoping happens. Could Eli Drake be one of the challengers for Cody's belt? I wouldn't be opposed to it. I mean, they brought in Ivelisse, and I didn't think that would happen. They had Austin Aries backstage, so a guy like Eli Drake, who is generally pretty positive, it'd be a nice addition for at least a one-week thing. Sean says, hey, Sean, heard you talk multiple times how you aren't a fan of how many titles that New Japan has. What do you think of the King of Pro Wrestling thing? Now, I had a disagreement with somebody on Twitter because I was like, it's really convoluted. And they're like, oh, no, I get it. It's simple. And I'm like, well, just because you get it doesn't mean it's simple. They've never really done gimmick matches, so they're doing a series of gimmick matches. Then the winner of those four gimmick matches face each other in a four-way non-gimmick match. Then it keeps going on, and you defend the title until the end of the year. Then it resets again. That is way too convoluted. And if it's a way for them to test out gimmick matches, sure. I would love that. Do a King of Pro Wrestling League and do these matches. Find a way to work the four ways in there. But not doing a belt, but it's a title and it's not a cup. What the fuck is it? They've got so much shit right now. They've got the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. They've got the Intercontinental title, U.S. title, Openweight title, tag titles, junior heavyweight tag titles, junior heavyweight tag team. There are so many damn title belts there. And then sometimes they're bringing in the Rev Pro shit. I don't need this many titles. Not everybody needs a belt. I would consolidate the junior heavyweight tag titles with the IWGP tag team titles. I would hit up Ring of Honor and say, let's combine our six-man tags, too, just to do it. And then I would just, I mean, the Never Openweight Championship, quite frankly, would fit this mold. Just make it your bruiser, hardcore, gimmick title thing. That's what that title's for. Damn, it frustrates me. Frustrates me. Just because you get it doesn't mean it's simple. There will be a lot of people who are like, what the fuck does that mean? SRS, WWE stars and TikTok. What's the position here? I don't care. I think it'd be great for WWE. You say, I think it'll be huge for WWE in the future. Do you agree? Yeah, I agree. TikTok's going to be huge for WWE. Where's Shane McMahon? Is he returning to WWE? What is he doing? He was working with the XFL before they shut down. He has not been regularly around WWE since the Fox debut. Do you think Randy Orton has another heavyweight title reign in him? Goddamn right I do. With the way that he's been playing, things lately. Hell yeah, I do, man. Randy Orton is on top of his game. He's doing great stuff right now. And I see definitely them doing something with that. Even if not right now, he's in the mix. And that's important. What do you think was the rationale for having Sasha beat Asuka for the title? Would not have been better to have Shayna write Kairi off and jump into a feud with Asuka instead? Well, I don't know. I haven't seen it completely play out yet, so I don't know if it would be better or not. But right now, Sasha and Bayley are the best things on WWE TV. I'm willing to trust them on this one. Willing to trust them on this one. Brian Bayless says, have you heard a reason as to why the hacker gimmick was dropped? Yeah, kind of. I mean, Ali moved to Raw, and they don't really have a target, so to speak, on Raw for him, is what I had heard last. Any outside names you've heard about being contacted for the AEW Women's Tag Team Tournament? I've heard an outside name that is very prominent right now that was given details about it and told that they might be contacted for it, but none other than that one. Yeah. Aiden says, big fan of Pat Buck and good to see him in the ring. Can you give a short explanation of exactly what a producer does, please? They help lay out a match. They help you fix deficiencies in your game. They help coordinate with other producers. That way you don't have the same cut and paste match every single go of it. Your thoughts on Taz as Cage's manager? I've been blown away by these promos. Man, he's amazing. He's made everybody else look... I don't want to say look bad, but look lesser than as a result. He's so goddamn good. He's so great on the mic that it's like, why didn't they let him do this in WWE more? It's unfortunate because he was so good at his ECW role. He just needed to be that. But that's the thing. You got to sprinkle that Taz dust on people and maybe it'll work. And Ricky Starks doesn't need anybody talking for him, but I like him being there too. But Taz has been amazing. Any idea how they'll be handling NXT UK soon? Specifically, Walter. No, I don't know what that is. If they can get him out of the country, they'd probably just have him come over here and hang out for a while. But they had like two or three tapings left from their last taping, and they're having a guy do the best of shows right now. But there's not a lot right now. There's post-production editing, and that's about it. And I don't know when or how that will change. How do you think AEW has done in terms of its long-term booking and storytelling? Exceptionally well. Way better than everybody else that I'm seeing. Except maybe New Japan, but they're different business models. But I think that AEW has done really well because I know that AEW does plan long-term. I know that they had some very bold plans heading into Revolution that got changed because of COVID. But that's very important to them. Now, they are not above changing things on the fly either, though, which is great. You've mentioned wanting to see the Knockouts tag team division come back. Do you think the TNA stuff is designed to create a faction warfare, or do you think they're planning another show? Did you like Wrestle House? I did not like Wrestle House, but I reserve judgment on that, too. I think they were planning on doing faction warfare at the time of WrestleMania, and then when COVID hit and all the releases happened, they changed and started to do something a little bit differently because they had all this buzz from all these releases coming. As for Wrestle House, I thought it was really stupid of them to follow up all the buzz that they had. All the buzz that they had to do that. Was the plan all along for Riddle to lose the IC title match to Styles, or did the allegations cause an audible? No, it was always the plan. Riddle was always supposed to feud with Baron Corbin all the way back to March. That was the plan. I believe you mentioned Mysterio is on an appearance basis for WWE right now. I did not mention that. Somebody else did. He has an out clause in his contract, which is up in September. So I don't know if he took that out clause and is working per appearance. Any chance you see him making a shocking move and popping up on AEW soon? I can imagine him showing up for a TNT title shot would cause a stir. No, I don't see that happening. And the reason I don't see that happening is that AEW right now, I don't think, is going to offer him more money. They're not going to offer him a better schedule. And they're not going to offer him a spot for his kid to get paid too, like WWE is right now. He gets to show up to work once every 2 weeks. And then and then his kid gets paid, too. So I think they can offer him more. Is it me, or do a majority of WWE women's matches end without a finisher? I haven't really thought of that, but I will pay more attention to that. I think it's about half, it feels like. We'll see. Maybe I'll do some stats on that. Casey says, do Bayley and Sasha each pull double duty at SummerSlam? I hope. That would add to the story so much. Does Ric Flair help Randy win the title at SummerSlam? I don't think so. I don't think that Randy wins the title at SummerSlam. Does Otis cash in at SummerSlam? No, I think he holds onto that briefcase for quite a while and ends up losing it. I think that's the right thing to do. I think you got to do the right thing for story. The right thing for story is, to me, the right thing to do. Well, the right thing to do is for you all to tell everybody how much you like this show, because I like you all an awful lot. Thank you all. Until next time, we're out.